We just turn to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we're stilled again in thy presence, and we stand in awe of thy greatness, just who thou art, the living God. Oh, what a wonder that now we can come to thee boldly by a new and living way and address thee as our Father, even Abba Father. Father, we thank thee for the wondrous work at Calvary. We freshly take time to express hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. We do pray, Father, that as a result of these meetings and this meeting again today, that devotion to thee would be increased. We would honour thee in our lives, and ultimately, Father, it would be to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand something more of thy word today. As we open it together, guide us into all truth. We do pray. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we look to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll take our reading from verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Chapter 12 of the same book, please. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 9 of the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wherefore, verse number 9. Wherefore, we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted or well-pleasing of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's much we could read concerning the thoughts of my heart to impart this afternoon. We've just selected some readings concerning the body. This physical, tangible body, which you see standing before you today. This body, which is the vehicle, of course, in which I'm on my way home. And your body, which is seated before me, that which you have the responsibility over. We've read some verses concerning the body, and now we've come to this section in this little study on the judgment seat of Christ concerning the body. And I'm going to come under assessment in that great day to come concerning what I did in the body. We've been noticing in these meetings, as we noticed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to come under assessment at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be scrutinized. It's going to be reviewed. It's going to be opened up and made manifest. The lid is going to be taken off, and it's going to be revealed concerning my public servants. We notice that that was in connection with the local assembly and my building into the local assembly, my association with it, my actions, and all that pertains to being in fellowship, in local assembly fellowship. We saw not only limited to that, but that which I am doing in a public way. We noticed then not only my public service, but my personal service. That which is going to come under review in a coming day is the very motives of my heart. Not only now the materials of my service, that which I am building with, but the very motive of my heart is going to come under review. Not only the motive of my heart and my service personally, that's just what is in the very inner recesses, which you can't see. And I would not even dare to attempt to say I had the ability to judge it myself. Not only that which is public and that which is personal, but last night we saw that which is private, that which may go on in the confines of mine own home, that which we do, which is outside of the context of assembly fellowship, yet within the bounds of moving together as brothers and sisters. And we saw last night something, or the night before, something of what it was to be assessed on our private service. We saw there that was the mindset of our service. What is my mindset as I serve Christ? What is my mindset as I traverse this Christian pathway and make my way home to the glory? Is it for the good and edification of others? Or at the end of the day when I get there, will it be revealed that I just had me at the forefront? And it was what I wanted that mattered most. And blow you. Well, says the apostle, and we learnt this last night, if that's the case, we'll miss out or suffer loss in the great day of assessment. Now standing before the judgment seat of Christ, not only assessed for the materials, the mindset, the motives, but we're going to be assessed for the manner of which we did things. We're going to come under that great assessment. It's going to be scrutinized. Not now for the public service, the private service, the personal service, but now for my physical service. That which I'm actually doing in this body, what am I yielding these members for? You can see them here before you this afternoon. What am I actually doing with the very members of my body? My hands, what do they touch? My feet, where do they go? My tongue, what does it speak? My eyes, what do they look at? My mind, what does it think? And in a coming day, before the very bema, it's going to come under assessment. It's going to be scrutinized. Well, said the apostle, as we begin tonight, what are you yielding? What am I yielding my members to? This is very testing, brothers and sisters. I mentioned the other night in the meeting concerning concerning that which spoke to me on one occasion, as I thought of Romans 1, and you come to the end of Romans 1 and enter into Romans chapter 2, and you see there that these people are engaged in practices which are obnoxious before God, and I wouldn't do such things, and you wouldn't do such things, but you know the test comes as to whether I have pleasure in them that do them. And a brother said something to me on the door as we went out that night, and it's well worth repeating, for it is something that I had thought, but I didn't actually mention it that night, but we want to bring it in tonight. He said, "Oh, do you know where we get tested the most on that, brother?" I said, "Where?" He said, "The TV." You know, I'm not actually doing it. But the people on the TV, I don't mind watching it. And if they blaspheme, well, I can tolerate that. And if they engage in practices that, well, I wouldn't do because I'm a Christian and the Word of God instructs me. Oh, but these eyes, they're going to come under review. And in a coming day, as I stand before you, brothers and sisters, I'm just reminded again of the verse which we read. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And I stand before you this afternoon, and I want to tell you, it's freshly riveted within my own being, within my own soul, as to what in that coming day, that great assessment is made, and the scrutiny of service is by the Lord Himself. The Christ that sits on the Bema throne, the one who's going to scrutinize my service, the one who's going to unravel every motive of the heart, the one who longs just to give reward, as we've been looking at in these meetings. But Clive, let me remember this tonight, that the very things that I've yielded my members to, in the very body, the vehicle of which I'm traversing homeward to the glory, is going to come under review in the coming day. And the instruction from the apostle is this: don't yield your members to sin, unrighteousness, uncleanness anymore, but unto righteousness, unto God, that I may be kept and preserved. And it may be that my service for Christ, as I go home to the glory, it would be well pleasing in the coming day. But when God, when Christ, as he sits upon the beam of throne, and as he assesses the service which I render to him in this very body, when he looks at what I did with the very members of my body, that it may be to his glory. We notice a few things. I want to see this afternoon in context of the gospel, for that's where we find ourselves in chapter 9, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. You come to the end of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, and the context there is the gospel. You come to the end of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and the context there is the gospel. And he's speaking about the gospel. You come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you come to the end of that chapter, and he's speaking about the gospel. That great ministry of reconciliation. What am I doing in this very body concerning the gospel? Concerning the spread of the gospel? Concerning the furtherance of the kingdom? Is it that I'm just using this body to sit down? I read an interesting quote from Spurgeon in recent times, and he said this. He went to a lady's house on one occasion. This lady, he knew she was a Christian, and she went to where Spurgeon went, wherever that was, I don't know. But he went to do some visitation, and he went to see her. So he knocked. He thought he would go and knock a few doors and see a few members of the congregation. He went along to this lady's house, and as he opened the garden gate and walked up the path towards the front door, there she was on her knees at the front doorstep, whitening the steps, cleaning the steps. She had her apron on. She had her water pail in her hand. Oh, she stood up, and all flustered, she tried to brush herself down. She said, "Oh, Mr. Spurgeon, I'm sorry. If I'd known you were coming, I would have been ready for you. I would have been waiting at the door." He said, "Dear sister, I'm very glad to see you just as you were." And he went on to write this. He said, he caught her in the act of service, laboring, not lazing. He didn't catch her, and in fact, this is what he wrote. He said, "I would far rather have seen her with a pail in her hand than standing at the door in her latest fashion." Here's a woman caught in the act of service. I wonder what it will be in the coming day when we're called away. Will I be engaged with this very body that I have before you, engaged in the great service of God, using these members to the glory of Christ? Or will I be caught out in the coming day? Will I be caught out just sitting around in the very body that God has given me? I'm not saying you should never take a break, or that's not the point, and you would know that, of course. But it's just a fresh challenge for me to analyze. What am I doing in the body? Here, we see it. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we might be well pleasing of him. Oh, what a tremendous privilege we have that in this old body I can use these members to the glory of Christ, that in a coming day it will redound in his glory. It will be for him. And any reward will just be for His pleasure and for His honour. So we read from Romans chapter 6, and the instruction there is that we wouldn't yield these members to unrighteousness, uncleanness, but we would take these members, Romans chapter 12, and we would lay them on the altar for God, and we would know what it is to be prepared to be used in sacrificial service for the Christ who died to save us. That we may there, oh, it's tremendous, isn't it, when you come to Romans chapter 12, speaks about the will of God, and we always want to know what the will of God is, don't we? And so many people speak so liberally, and I challenge myself this afternoon. We speak so liberally about the will of God, and the Lord told me to do this, and it was the Lord's will to do that, and I do this and I do that. Well, he says, if we want to know what the Lord's will is, first you have to go through verse 1 and verse 2. We have to lay all on the altar. Then we'll know God's will. But so often, I'm over here and I want the Lord's will before I'm prepared to lay my all on the altar, before I'm prepared to use these members in sacrificial service for God Himself, to the honour of Christ, in the service that He has given me to do. Oh, and I start worrying about this and I get it all mixed up and the wrong way round. No wonder there's so much confusion about the will of God. So he says here, divine presentation, to present my body. Just what it is, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, as we review ourselves, as we just go back over some ground and think of this service of which I am rendering to the Lord in assembly fellowship. What am I doing with this body? You know, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm reminded there that this very body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, where am I going? What am I doing? What is my practice? That I would understand further and appreciate more that this is the very temple of the Holy Spirit. And before God, as I move through life in service to God, yielding these members unto holiness, that which is acceptable before God. We find that word well pleasing, which we read over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We find it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we see that it's used 9 times in the New Testament. Acceptable, it's often translated. Well pleasing, well, maybe well-pleasing could be a better rendering. But I want to say this. Acceptable is fine with me. Because that which is well-pleasing to God is acceptable to God. And you see, if I'm moving in a way which is well-pleasing, it just literally means it's fully acceptable to God. So I labour in a way that is well pleasing, that is accepted of Him, fully accepted. Out of the 9 times in the New Testament, 8 of those times it's linked with God Himself, service to God Himself. Once it's just mentioned concerning the servant and his master, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 9, I think it is. But we see here that what's going to come under assessment in a coming day is what I've used these members for, what I've used this body for, what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, what these eyes will behold, and I'm not talking about a glance and you realize something was wrong. Oh, the second look will be assessed for, won't we? I often think of that, walking down the street, and you see something. You can't help a bird flying over your head, but you can help if it starts to nest in your hair. That's the illustration that's been used on many occasions before. And I often think of it, walking down the street, and you just see something you'd rather not have seen. But what are you going to do? Take a second look. Fix the eyes. Oh, it's going to come under assessment in a coming day. What I use my eyes for. What I use my hands for. In service for Christ. Whether it was to profit. To His glory. It says in this verse here, good or bad. We want to see that just literally. Whether it's going to be to His glory. Whether I'm going to gain reward which will be to His glory. Or whether it will be worthless. And I'll suffer loss. Romans chapter 12. Presenting our bodies. Romans chapter 6. That this sin would not have dominion over us. That I would not yield these members to uncleanness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that I would understand that I'm divine property. I've been bought with a price. The supreme price has been paid at Calvary in full. And I've been purchased back out of the slave market of sin, under the slave master, which is Satan himself. I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ himself, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the infinite price that was paid. And I'm now a divine property, and stamped upon me and placed within me is divine seed, and the seal, the earnest, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been placed right within me. And it's that guarantee, that absolute seal, that I'm homeward and heavenward bound, and I'm divine property. Now, the exhortation is this afternoon, that understanding something of this, I would not use this body in a way which will be in a coming day for me to hang my head. Realize, it wasn't to the glory and honor of Christ. Let me just reiterate this again this afternoon. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're not assessed. We're not going to be reviewed. We're not scrutinized concerning our sin. In the sense that our sin has been dealt with in its fullness. Our service will be addressed. It will be scrutinized. There we will see what service I rendered, how I rendered it, whether it will receive a reward, whether I'll suffer loss, whether it is to profit, or whether it was worthless, whether it will endure, or whether it will be burned up, whether it was of gold, silver, and precious stones, whether it was of the wood, hay, and stubble, whether it looked good on the outside, but really it was profitless. And so I'm reminded this afternoon that the very service which I render in the very things that I use these members for is going to come under review. And so the apostle, he writes not only divine property with an infinite price, but he speaks about divine preservation, discipline, perseverance. And that's chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Oh, that I would understand something of what it is to discipline this body. I'll never forget when this scripture hit me. I was in a fish and chip shop in Melbourne. The scripture didn't actually hit me in the fish and chip shop. It wasn't until I got home and I was searching the scriptures that this verse came out to me. I discipline my body and keep it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. The little story behind this was, I'd not long been saved. When I was a non-Christian, when I was unsaved, I was a boozer. Most would understand that's a drinker. And I would drink to excess, and I would see no problem with getting drunk Saturday night, Friday night, through the week, whenever it was. I wouldn't have considered myself a drunkard. Maybe I was borderline, but I enjoyed a drink, and I went out and got drunk freely and liberally and often. But now I was a Christian, and Christ had saved me, and I knew there was something that was just based within me, that was wrong. I knew really not much of the scriptures at all, but I knew this, to get drunk was wrong. But what about just a few drinks? And so I thought, well, just as long as I don't get drunk, a few drinks with the mates, well, that won't matter. Well, I went out with a friend on one occasion, not long after I was saved. And as we went out, he said to me, we were going to get fish and chips. And he said to me, well, let's just go past the bottle shop, or off-license, we used to call it in the UK. Let's go past the bottle shop and we'll pick up some beers and we'll go to the fish and chip shop. Well, you know, I was not long saved. My friends knew I was saved. That this is one of them I was living with at that time. They always used to ask me why I was suddenly reading the Bible, why I had a Bible in my room now, and why this and why that. In fact, they used to come into my room and gather them. I'd be sitting in my room and they would come in and gather themselves around and start penetrating me with questions. Why this and why that? You didn't used to do this. Why don't you want this anymore? And why are you not doing that anymore? Well, on this occasion, I went with my friend to the fish and chip shop. We went past the bottle shop on the way, the off-license. We picked up some beers, and I was too weak to say no. He gave me a beer, and I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with having a beer. I'm not going to get drunk now. So I took a beer. Well, we got to the fish and chip shop, he parked the car, and I put my beer in the central console, and I was just about to get out of the car. He said, bring your beer into the shop. There's nothing, but I know the fellow in the shop anyway. Bring your beer in, that will be alright. So, I kind of gritted my teeth and thought, but I didn't really want to get out of the car with a beer in my hand. I was a Christian then. And so I distinctly remember doing this. I covered up the label. And as I put my hand around the label, I got out the car and went into the fish and chip shop. You know, as a new Christian, with the zeal of a new Christian, I'd been handing out tracts left, right and centre. And a week before, I'd been into that fish and chip shop and got some fish and chips. And I'd handed a tract to the man behind the counter who owned the fish and chip shop. Now I walked in with a beer in my hand. I'll never forget what that man said. He just looked across the counter to me and he said, oh, you're a Christian. You gave me a tract last week. Why are you drinking a beer? I remember I shrunk to about that size. I felt like running out of the shop. And the Lord spoke to me that day. So kindly, so wonderfully. Clive, that's not the behavior of a Christian. This is not what you should use your body for, man. You left that behind, and I went home, and I put the beer down, and I got home into the scriptures, and I was looking through the scriptures that very evening, and this verse jumped off the page to me, I discipline my body and bring it in subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. Oh, that I would understand that in this body now in service to Christ, I have to discipline myself. There are certain things which I don't want to do and I should not do anymore. And there are certain things which we were looking at last night that I wouldn't even do. I would be prepared to discipline myself and not do something if it stumbles another brother or a sister, even if I feel at liberty to do it myself. And I'm convinced that it's not against the grounds of Holy Scripture. If it stumbles another brother or another sister, I would be prepared to discipline myself and not do it. Certainly not do it when they're around. But there are times now when I have to discipline myself in a very real way. No, Clive. That belongs to that which is old. Would we not move into verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and see that all things have become new? The old has passed away. I'm a new creature in Christ. Now I do things with this body of mine. You would see that so many different examples of this in the Scripture. One that just comes to mind as I stand before you is the exhortation in the epistle of the Ephesians by the apostle, that him that stole steal no more, but rather let him use his hands, working, laboring. These hands they used to take, now they're going to work to give. I'm going to take this body, the very same body that used to commit things which were obnoxious before God, and the eyes that used to look at things which were not pleasing, and the hands that used to touch things that were not pleasing, and the feet that took me to places which were dishonouring, and the mind that thought of things that were obnoxious to God. I'm now going to take them and use them for the glory of Christ, that in the great assessment day, when God himself assesses in the person of Christ the service that I've rendered unto him in this body, it might be that these members and the service that I've used them for will bring glory and honour to the Christ who sits on the throne. It will be to his glory that I might receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. This brings us discipline, perseverance. We find in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians now our desires. Our desires. This is how this chapter unfolds. What is my desire? Well, says the apostle, he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, we look around today, and I analyze my own heart, brothers and sisters. Sometimes I wonder to myself, where is my desire? Is it to linger here? Is it because I'm so engaged with the things of earth and building up earthly mansions and enjoying earthly things which I'll leave behind and just climbing the social ladders and the business heights in the business world and this and that and the other and building mansions here below and stocking up bank accounts and observing the gold and earthly things that will just perish and fall away? And sometimes I can be so engaged in that and using these very members of my body on earthly things, not understanding that the whole desire of my heart and longing, as the Apostle Paul, was just to be with Christ in the glory. And this little journey homeward with that desire in my heart, the whole focus of my service is that I may render, I may use this body for him. Now we have to go to work. There are things we have to do which are legitimate. And you would be No, I'm just going to leave that there. You understand those things fully. But you know, Sometimes I can be so taken up with earthly things, I've lost the longing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I'm so engaged in earthly things that I use these members and I concentrate them on earthly things, and I'm using them in a way in which a coming day I stand before the Bema and I'm assessed as to what I did in this body. Oh, good and bad, to profit or worthless, to the glory of Christ or to suffer loss. Here he says, wherefore we labour. What is the wherefore? He's just looked at those things. We're just longing to be with Christ. Heaven is our home. We're going homeward. We're heaven bound. And my whole attitude of heart is already there. And as I'm passing through this little time, as I move through this chapter, I see there are various things that I should be engaged in as I go homeward. One of them is soul winning, preaching the gospel. Oh, that I would use this body, use these members to see others one to Christ. How could we do that in a practical way? We can use these hands, can't we? Isn't that it, the lovely hymn that comes to mind? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to take these hands, take these lips, and I can use these hands. And dear sister, dear brother, in whichever way it may be, whether it's standing up, dear brother, and declaring the glad tidings with the very mouth, the voice box that God has given you, and using the tongue, that very member, to declare the glories of Christ, that some souls may be won to him. Or whether it's, dear sister, using these hands that God has given you to do, and preparing something for an unsaved soul, using these feet to take it down to where they live, whatever it may be, that it may be in a coming day, and the great assessment day, under the review and scrutiny of the judgment seat of Christ, it will be to his glory and honour. It will be the profit of which I used the very members of these bodies. Wherefore, we labour. That word labour is made up of two words. Philios, friend, relationship, and time, or timae, however you want to pronounce it, I don't know, I'm not a Greek scholar. But being made up of two words, it just literally means a precious, honourable relationship. Philios is used so often in the scriptures as a friend. Abraham was the friend of God. Time, or timae, it is used of that which is honourable, precious, valuable, and put together, we can see here, wherefore we labour. This is not now laborious, boring, something which I kind of force myself to do, but I'm going homeward. My whole attitude is in the glory already. I just want to live for Christ. I want to use these members for his glory, and it's just a pleasure for me to labour. Considering this, it will be to his glory. Considering that there could be some soul won to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just a privilege, it's a precious thing to labour for him, something to be eager and fond of. Or here he says, wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, well pleasing, fully acceptable, for we must all appear. The word appear here again would speak to me, just literally means manifest. I want to bring in a qualification, or I mentioned the other night, it was the thought of my heart that it was an open, manifest thing, the judgment seat of Christ, as opposed to a private one-on-one interview. Of course it's one-on-one, but I would see it as being something which is open and manifest. When we're gathered there at the Bema, and speaking in the home to a brother recently, we were just looking at these things. My reasons for feeling it is a manifest, open thing is that we see here, we would look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, and we see that it's something manifest, it's something open, declared, brought to light, the hidden things of darkness, chapter 4, things that are unraveled, the lid is taken off, it's disclosed, it's going to be tried in the fire, and it's going to be to the glory of Christ, or I'll suffer loss. Well, some may say, I don't like that idea because, you know, I might feel embarrassed or just not comfortable with the idea of other people seeing my service be made manifest. Well, what a tremendous privilege to know this, that in the coming day, when we stand before the Bema, bodies that are changed, like under his glorious body, I won't have a mind that will be able to sin. I won't be able to have thoughts which are wrong. I'm going to look at you in a completely different light, and you're going to be looking at me in a completely different light. Thank God for that. We carry with us the flesh. We're so afflicted. It has an effect on the very thoughts of the mind and the motives of the heart. And that's what the apostle was speaking of in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. But he said in the coming day it's going to be different. We're going to stand there. We're changed. We're different. We're not going to think like we think now. We're not going to act or speak like we speak now. The motives of the heart are going to be different. Everything's going to be made manifest. Rewards are going to be given. It will be to the glory of Christ. And also we see every time that word Bema is mentioned in Holy Scripture, it's always in the context. I think it was 12 times we saw it was mentioned in Scripture. And it's always an open thing. Never do we find it in any other context as being a private, one-on-one thing. Also the parable of the nobleman. And when he comes back and the rewards are given, and to him 10 cities, to him 5 cities, the others are looking on, for they make comments about it. So this is my reasoning. And here we find it again. He says, for we must all. We, that includes me, must. It is going to happen, brothers and sisters. All, that includes you two, appear, be manifest before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, so that according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Wherefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, the fear of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, could we just stop again a moment as we look towards this great day? We can see it in Holy Scripture in at least 2 aspects. You know, as I consider the judgment seat of Christ, it's just caused me to stop in my tracks. What is my service in the assembly? I want to ask you this afternoon, what is your participation in God's assembly? It's going to come under review. There will be no excuse in the coming day. It will come under scrutiny. It will either be for reward to his glory, or I'll suffer loss. Brother, sister, be encouraged. Go on. Start now. Move on in participation of the local assembly. What is not only my public service for Christ in the local assembly, what is my personal service for Him? Do I just judge the motives of others? Or am I quite content to leave that judgment to God just to move on in service for Him? That my conscience is clear before Holy Scripture and I'm not sitting in the judgment seat already. I'll leave that to Christ, and my whole bent and the motivation of life, my whole being just longs just to serve Him. And leave the judgment to Him. But to remember this, I'm going to come under assessment. Every counsel of the heart, everything that was wrought in secret, is going to come under assessment. And I see not only public, what I'm building into the assembly, I see not only that which is personal, just within the very seat of my being, but that which is private, as we've looked at, that's gone on within the confines of my family, of my home, within those who I move amongst, in local assembly fellowship, as I move amongst the Christians round about. And then that of which I'm using this very body for. The manner of my service, the material, the mindset, the motives. It's all going to come under review. And this does one thing for me, brothers and sisters. And it ought to do it for all of us. It ought to cause us to stop this afternoon and just to analyze in every one of these areas. How is my service for Christ? That's one aspect. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. The judgment seat of Christ was upon his mind as he wrote these words. But I've said in these meetings, and I'll say it again now because I want to reiterate it as I finish. I want to leave this with you, brothers and sisters. I want to stamp this upon this meeting and into our very hearts, that we would be thrilled to the very core of our being, that we would be encouraged to move on. Oh, says some, I may as well give up. I just see my past service. I see that I'm going to be assessed for it. I'll hang my head and just give up now. I've had a track record which has been black and bleak. Oh, I want us to be encouraged this afternoon. No matter what the past is, no matter what we've done before, let me forget the things that are behind and press towards the prize, the mark of the heavenly calling, that which is on before, as I lay hold and stretch forth and press on. And know this, in the coming day, it will be to his glory. Could I encourage us again as we finish? Whatever area of service, let us remember, according to the word of God, that which is well pleasing, acceptable, will be to his glory. Think of his glory displayed in the saints in a coming day. Something of his glory displayed. We have the privilege to display something of his glory in a coming day. Oh, as we move towards the judgment seat of Christ, let us be encouraged to serve faithfully. Go on, brothers and sisters. Keep going. Look on. Look up. Put your hand to the word of God. And go on, faithful to his glory. Let's pray. Now, Father, we give thanks again for this privilege that we have just to learn something more. Oh God, that we may not only be challenged, but changed. Not only, Father, make observation back to be obedient. We may be instructed, may be encouraged, and it would be to the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank thee. We just think of the very heartthrob of God just to reward his children. Oh God, encourage us as we move on just to be well pleasing, fully acceptable, that which is according to thy word, for the glory and honour of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, for this food which we're about to partake of, and the cup of tea and the drink. Father, we really appreciate this and return our thanks for the kind hands that have been used in service for thee. Father, accept our thanks. We know that in a coming day, even a cup of cold water in thy name will be to the glory of the Lord and will be remembered. Father, we thank thee for this. Thou art kind, merciful, tender. Help us to be encouraged just to serve thee and honour thee in all the things that we do on our journey homeward and heavenward, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.